power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you and me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I don't need to go look for power. I got power. Come on, I just got to believe in it and start acting like it's true. Acting like it's for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians in the 6th chapter. I want to talk to you tonight about prayer. How many know that prayer is talking to God, right? Prayer is communication with God, and that can come in many different forms. But in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, this is after he's talked about all the armor of God and what all the equipment is and everything. In verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end in all perseverance and supplications for the saints. Praying with all prayer. Everybody say that. Praying with all prayer and supplication. Now watch this. With all prayer. So sometimes we just say, well, what's prayer? Prayer is prayer. But the reality is there's different kinds of prayer. For instance, there's a prayer that you pray for somebody else in intercession. But then there's a prayer of faith that you pray for yourself. Right? There's a prayer of consecration and dedication. In other words, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life, and this is what I'm praying for, that you'd reveal to me your will, and then, Father, give me the strength and the courage to do your will. Right? It's consecration. I'm dedicating my life to you. But you don't pray the prayer of consecration the same way that you pray the prayer of faith. Because the prayer of faith is based on what God has already said. He said it, so I believe it, so I'm standing on it. In faith, I'm praying this way. In other words, I'm enforcing what you've already told me, and we're going to see that displayed a little bit in the Scripture tonight. But tonight, specifically, I want to teach on the prayer for personal peace. Personal peace. How many like peace? Or is there any in here? I know some people, it seems like they like turmoil. They like to stir the pot. They like to, you know, just... But that's not what God's called us to. He's called us to peace. But we have to be in a position where we're going to be in the position to receive the answer to our prayer for peace. And peace is contentment. Peace is not the lack of turmoil, because turmoil can be all around us, but yet peace can be in us. Jesus was in the same boat with all the disciples, and the sea was raising, and these were seasoned fishermen. They said, don't you care that we perish? And he's in the back of the boat, and he's saying, you have little faith. I told you we're going to the other side. That's all you needed to stay in peace, is to know what I told you. But yet, you let the circumstance dictate whether you're in peace or not. And we are in the same boat or the same situation a lot of times. If God wanted me to be at peace, he'd give me peaceful circumstances. How many know that just doesn't happen? Especially if there's more than one of you with you, right? Because everybody's got a little bit different opinion. And I've found that even in my own head, sometimes it can be hard to stay in peace. But peace is what we're supposed to be at. In fact, I would tell you that until you're at peace, some of the other prayers won't work. You can't pray the prayer of faith in a worry or a turmoil situation. You just can't do it. They don't work together. So let's look at that. So we'll look at some Scripture. Go with me. Very familiar, again, Scripture, but to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Glory to God. I love the Word of God because it comes alive. It is alive. And you can have read something 100 times, 1,000 times. I believe this, and I'll tell you a little story about it, but that you can read the same chapter every day for a year and get some more out of it every day. and there was before the Iron Curtain fell, and before you could get Bibles into Russia, if you took Bibles into Russia back in when the Cold War was going on, they'd confiscate them and burn them or whatever. So missionaries and many missionary stories where they took Bibles across the borders in the Iron Curtain country, and God hid them so that they could get through. But in this one place, they took the Bible, and we don't see this as much, but when I first got saved, you'd have a tract of the Gospel of John, and it was just one little paperback thing about this big. And so this particular minister was going into Russia, and he took a bunch of copies of the Gospel of John. And he took the Gospel of John, and he took it to this church, and they were all excited about it. We've got a Bible that we can look at. We've got the Word of God that we got it on the printed page. And so, you know, if you take one of those little tract type of Bibles and you read it a lot, what's it going to do? It's going to fall apart, right? Right? And so he went back a year later. And to the same place that he went to, and he found people, and they had chapters of the Bible printed out, and they'd pass them from person to person because that was the only word that they had. Think about that. I've got a Bible in so many different translations on my phone. I can come up with probably 15 translations. They had just one sheet of paper with one chapter, but they kept it. They, you know, how when a page would rip, they'd find some scotch tape and, you know, the clear kind, and just keep that thing intact because that was the Word of God to them, and they got something out of it every time they read it. So that's what the Word of God is to us. And so when we find a scripture that we've read over and over again, and sometimes we go, well, I can quote that, I know what that says, watch yourself and say, wait a minute, I need to go back and readdress the scripture because I'm not giving it the honor that it's due. Right? How many know the Bible is the Word of God? That means God said it. This is God speaking, right? So when we come to the Word of God, we must honor the Word of God. That's the first step. It's like, this is my Bible. Right? It used to be, I grew up in a denomination where it was, I think it went a little bit overboard, but I mean, you protected your Bible. You didn't, you know, you didn't ever do anything wrong to your Bible because that's the sacred book. And today we got them flung all over the place, and you can go down to Goodwill or St. Vincent de Paul and probably buy 50 Bibles for a buck. But we, as people of God, need to take the Word of God and reverently look at the Word of God and say, wait a minute, this is God speaking to me. Are you with me? All right, so did you find Philippians? All right, chapter 4. And look at verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, who's this for? Anybody home? Who is this for? It's for us, right? It's written to me. This is for me. I want that verse. I want the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I want it to guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I want that. I can't have that unless I do verse 7. And again, verse 6. And verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. I think it's the Amplified that says, do not fret or have anxiety for anything. Don't worry about it. So if I want to get the result of what God is promising me, I have to be determined not to worry. You probably never thought about this, but I think it would do good for the church to repent of worrying. To repent for worrying. Saying, God, I really don't trust you, because if I trusted you, I wouldn't be worried about something. I wouldn't let anxiety control me. So I think the church needs, now with all of my heart, and I have compassion. I've worked with people who've gone through all kinds of different things, emotionally, mentally, all of those things. But the reality is, as he said, do not be anxious about anything. So if I'm anxious about anything, then I'm violating what he said. And if I violate what he says, it's like if I went out and stole $1 million. I should probably repent for that, right? I should probably say, no, that's not the right thing to do. Or if I went out and hurt somebody, I should probably repent for that, because that's something that I shouldn't do. But what if I go out and worry? I should repent of that. And why? Because it's not only hurting me, it's hurting all of those that are around me. You know that if you're bothered and you're in worry and you're, what about this, what about that, what about this, you're driving your family nuts, right? And you don't have to, and you're actually robbing them of the peace of God. So if we want to live in the peace of God, then we have to come to the place where we come to trust Jesus so much that we refuse to worry about anything. Can you do it? Yes. Is it difficult? Absolutely. Absolutely. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about you have to take every thought captive and bring it into obedience of Christ. Now, every thought, I've got a few thoughts going in my mind. And I'm a man, and a woman, it's, you know, quadrupled. There are so many thoughts going through ladies that it's just, they're wired together. Us guys, we're not that complicated. But watch this. It's true, right? It's true that if he said I can do something, I can do it. He said to be anxious for nothing. So I've got to come to the place where any anxious thought is contrary to God's word, and I must come against it. I must not allow it. I must do something to fight it. Because it's going to keep me from what God has for me. I want to have the prayer of peace. I want peace in my life and in my heart. And some of us would have the attitude, well, if God wanted me to be in peace, he'd straighten everything out. Well, the reality is he has straightened it out for you, but there's other people that are going through stuff. But you don't have to go hook your wagon up to their wagon. Let me just say that again. You don't have to hook your wagon up to their wagon. You need to hook your wagon up to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not anxious. The Holy Spirit's not depressed. The Holy Spirit's not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Or who's going to be president. You know, or what disease is coming. Not concerned about that in the least bit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows that God has your back, right? Because he is God. But watch this again. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In everything. Again, that's, I think that points to everything that you think about, you should be praying about. Everything that you think about, you should be praying about or in prayer about, like this. A thought comes to your mind, well, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, look at this inflation and you're on a fixed income. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Wait a minute. Lord, what did you say about that? That you'd supply all my needs according to your riches and glory? Well, then I'm not going to spend a lot of time worrying about how it's going to come. That's your department. I'm going to spend time talking to you and then thanking you that you're with me, that you haven't left me, that you won't forsake me, that you've got it all in control. My peace is not determined by whether the United States stands or falls. Thank you for your enthusiasm. It's not determined whether the stock market crashes. It's not determined by any of those things, because my peace is determined on whether I trust God or not. So you can't be in faith if you're in anxiety. You can't pray the prayer of faith if you're in anxiety. But when you get a hold of what God has said and you understand that He's with you and you really believe that Jesus said He wouldn't leave you nor forsake you. He said that in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That doesn't even make sense. Tribulation, cheer, doesn't make sense. Lord, but you know what I'm thinking. You know what they're saying. You know what this... Blah, 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 blah. You know, I watched the news last night. God, how could I be not anxious when I see all of that and I hear all the commentators telling me how bad everything is? First of all, you're not listening to the final source. As Paul Harvey said, and now for the rest of the news. Right? Here's the rest of the news right in here. God is for me. God is with me. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I'm with you. You see, you can't be outside of anxiety unless you fully trust that He's with you. And as Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if God be for you, who can be against you? So those thoughts of anxiety are coming from what's attacking you or what could happen in the future. And we need to get to the attitude that I'm going to sleep in the boat if a storm comes because Jesus is with me. And really, if you come down, what's the worst thing that could happen? I could die and go to heaven. That's the worst thing that could happen. I could die and go to heaven. Right? But no, I can be in a place where I do not fret or have anxiety for anything because He said that I couldn't. Come on, He said that I could. I need to be back to the place where I'm repenting for worrying. I'm repenting for it. I'm saying, no, Lord, this is not You. I've let my mind go someplace that it doesn't belong. I've let my thoughts come. So, I mean, we all have lots of opportunities to worry. We have lots of opportunity to be in anxiety. But every opportunity that we have comes with a choice whether we're going to get involved with that or we're going to trust God. And the bottom line is we're going to trust God. Yeah, but what about this and what about that? Yeah, but what about Jesus? Yeah, but what about this? What about Jesus? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Why? Because He's listening. He's for you. But we don't really believe that God is for us. We're like the Israelites that were with David at around David's time when he was just a shepherd boy taking out some cheese for lunch to his brothers, and Goliath standing up there and said, come on, any one of you boys want to come out and fight? I'm going to tear you apart. And what was David's response? Because he had spent time meditating in the things of God. He spent time with God. He knew that God was for him. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against the absolute covenant people of God? This is ridiculous. And all of the brave soldiers, the king, all of his men, they were hiding in tents. They were, no, I'm not going. You don't know, I'm not going. I don't know what we're going to do. But here was a boy who triggered his thoughts in his experience with the goodness of God. And he said, I got this. I got this. I got this. You see, we have to come back to the place where we understand that God is with us. We have to begin to become thankful, not for everything. I'm not thankful that I lost my job. I'm not thankful for this happened or that happened. But I'm so grateful, Lord, that You're with me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, I'm for You. Jesus, You're my Lord today. You'll be my Lord tomorrow. I'm trusting You with everything. I can only stamp out anxiety with trust. But my trust must be in Him completely. Come on. Is He for you? Is He with you? When? Come on, all the time, right? So if He's with you, if you really believe that, what amount of time do you have for worry or anxiety? Zip. And then when we come to understand that my anxiety is a result of my not trusting. So Lord, I forgive me for that. Now, I know that none of us would literally do this, but yet isn't it what we're doing? Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what. Lord, you see what's going on? God. What you're saying is, Jesus, you're a liar. Jesus, you're a liar. Well, what do you mean? I would never say that. He said He'd always be with you. He said, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. So if I'm going to follow what He says, if I'm going to trust Him, then I'm going to have good cheer in the midst of everything. So you can see me in a situation where it seems like trouble's all around me, and I've got great opportunities to worry or be frustrated, but rather than give myself into that, I'm going to give myself into talking to God about it and then about thanking Him that He's with me. Thank You that You've never left me. Thank You that You won't forsake me. God, I don't like the situation. There's nothing I can really do about it, but God, You're with me. Come on. And I'm going to repent every time I allow myself to get into worry, to get into frustration, because I, at that point, have to come to the place where I know that I'm violating what He said. Because He said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't let worry overtake you, because He's with you. How many worry that you don't do enough for God? How many worry that you don't, you know, that you don't measure up to God, that you're listen, the Bible even says that He's the one that will complete the work that He started in you. What we do oftentimes is we go from grace back into works. And God said, No. Grace is not an excuse to sin, but you're saved by grace, and I'm going to keep you by the same grace that I saved you with. So even if I'm struggling with a sin, I can go before God and say, Lord, I repent of that sin, and I know I've repented 100 times, but Lord, I know that Your grace is sufficient for me in this. I'm going to stand with You, and Lord, with Your help, we're going to overcome this thing. Are you with me? Yeah, because God, You're for me. You're for me. And if You be for me, who can be against me? Glory, who can be against me? I've had many opportunities to cry out to God in the stress of the situation and have to come to the realization, God, I don't like what's happening right now. What's happening right now is not the way I planned it. However, You're with me. You're for me. Even if things go south like these thoughts that are coming to me are portraying, I refuse to go south with them because I'm headed up. Are you with me? Come on. Come on. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is with me. When thoughts come about how bad it is or what are you going to do or all that, you just have to turn around and say, Lord, I just thank You that You're with me. Praise is an antidote to depression. Come on. Praise is an antidote to depression. And watch this. Praise who? Praise God. You start praising God for who He is. You start thanking Him for what He's done. And all of a sudden, that mountain that looked so big before starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller because you're making God bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You have to get thanksgiving and praise in your mouth to keep worry out of your mind. Come on. That's worth the price of admission right there. If you just get that, I've got to get praise and thanksgiving in my mouth, come on, so that I can get anxiety out of my mind. Glory to God. And then if you begin to guard that, watch this. This is so cool. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Come on, I'm not talking about your peace. I'm talking about the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Again, the Amplified, it's kind of a flower. Somebody said this, I love this. They said, you know, the Amplified Bible, that's the woman's Bible. Why is that the woman's? It's got more words. Right? Well, watch this now. Watch. It says that it will guard and mount up a garrison around your heart and your mind. Think about that for a minute. It's like you're walking alone and you're thinking, boy, I'm in trouble. And all of a sudden, there's just a whole line of angels this way, a line of angels this way, a line of angels that way. And all of a sudden, you're not as afraid to be walking in the middle of the wilderness because you know that there's a guard all the way around you. See, this is the picture that I'm trying to paint for you tonight. There is a prayer where the presence of God and the peace of God can guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, I guarantee you all the struggles that you're facing today, and I'm not minimizing them, but in 100 years, in 1,000,000 years, you're not going to even think that they existed. Why? Because you're going to be with Jesus. You're going to be reigning with Him forever. Hallelujah. Jesus, even when He taught us to pray, He said, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Now, you think about that we want to create a place that's heaven on earth, but the reality is I'm on the earth, but I'm in heaven too. Right? I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. I'm in Christ. So, Lord, I'm going to establish in my heart. I can't establish it in your heart. You can't establish it in my heart. But in my heart, I'm going to establish heaven on earth. And when I say establish, all I'm going to do is recognize what God has done and then enforce it in my life. Yeah, I'm going to enforce it in my life. If you said it, God, I'm going to act like it's true. I'm going to begin to demand myself to think in line with what God has said rather than what the circumstances are trying to dictate to me. Come on, are you with me? Come on, he's given us every tool that we need to walk in peace. But if I want to pray for peace for myself, I must enforce it in my life. I must come to the place where I refuse to be anxious for anything. Come on, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I hope you're getting something tonight. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you. I'm just doing the... giving it the best I can, Lord, I ask that you would just burn this into our hearts. Because none of us, not one of us, is immune to worry, is immune to frustration, immune to these things. None of us. Right? But watch this. God is for us. Look at this. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humility is not weakness, it's strength, because it transfers your source of strength from you to Him. Let me say that again. Humility, humbling yourself from God, is not a lack of strength. What it is, it's taking your strength and saying, this is all I can do, but God, if I submit to you, this is what you can do. So humility, humbling yourself before God, and that really means agreeing with Him. Whatever you say, God, if my mind is saying something different, you're right, I'm wrong, period. That's not a place of weakness, that's a place of strength. Because now you're putting yourself in a position where He can lift you up. Verse 7 says this, casting some of your care upon him, for he cares for you. It says all? All of your care. How many came in here with care tonight? You're worried about this. You're thinking about that. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? What, you know, things that lead you away from peace rather than to peace. You can't cast something and then take it back, which we all do. It's like, Lord, I just can't handle this, so I'm going to give it to you right now in Jesus' name. And then you go 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and the thoughts start coming back, and you go, oh, but what am I going to do? You take the care right back. This says to cast all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. All means all. You got to throw it on him. I told this story Sunday, but I'm going to tell it again because it's recent and it's mine, and it speaks to what I'm talking about tonight. Renita had the heart attack. And we went from one hospital, and they had to take her by ambulance to another hospital. And I'm driving up to the hospital where the cardiologist was, and you know, they're telling us, well, tomorrow they'll do the scope thing and they'll do all of this and do all of that. And so I had to leave there after that because they had visiting hours, and so I had to go. So I was driving back home, it's about an hour away. And just driving along a road I didn't know. But I said, Lord, no, literally, I said, Lord, I can't take this care. I can't do it. It's just, it blows my mind. I mean, I was emotional at the time, all of that, right? But I said, Lord, I'm going to give you this care of this. So no matter what the outcome is, Lord, no matter what the doctor says tomorrow, now, I'm believing God for her to be well healed and all that. Don't misunderstand me. But Lord, even if she perishes, I'm going to leave the care of that with you. Not going to try to figure it out. Not going to try to figure out why. Any of that. I'm casting the care of this upon you. And I'm telling you, there was a load that lifted off of me. I still had issues to deal with. I still had to figure out what was going on, what the doctors wanted, and all of that. It was quite an ordeal for a few days. But the reality of the care of it was not mine anymore. I needed to do what I needed to do, but I wasn't carrying the weight of it anymore. Because why? I cast the care upon him. But I had to do it. I had to do it. And we have to do it. When? All the time. Casting the care on him, throwing it at him. Glory to God. But we're like, my dad told this story about when they were kids. You know, that was way back when. They had a street that, you know, was busy for them, but that was back in the day, so there weren't that many cars on it. They'd hide in the bushes, and they had this thing made up like a dummy, right? They'd throw it out in the middle of the road, and then when the car came back, they'd pull the thing back in. And then laugh as the car stopped and all of that, right? So they'd throw that out and then they'd take it back in. Well, that's a picture of what we do. Lord, I'm going to give you this. I you know, my kids are a mess. People are telling me that I got to do this, I got to do that, whatever. This is all. But Lord, I'm going to throw that on you. You're going to show me. You're going to deal with me. You're going to help me. And we go, oh yeah, praise God. But let me take that back because I got to think about some more. But what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Oh, God, forgive me. I took that back. Lord, I gave that to you. You see, that's the point where we've got to discipline ourselves to say, no, I refuse to worry or have anxiety over anything. I refuse to worry or have anxiety over. But aren't you worried? Aren't you concerned? I refuse to worry or have anxiety over anything. Why? Because I cast the care. Now watch this. The care of what? The care of me. Cast all your cares. What does that mean? That means everything that concerns me. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, who I'm going to be with, who's around, who's not around. All of that. It's talking about what concerns me. God, I'm going to trust you with me. Come on, I am going to trust you completely with me. And what you say about me is what reality is. But I have to cast that care onto you, Lord. And when that care comes, oh, sorry. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. And the devil will continue to bring it back to your mind over and over and over again. Just keep casting it that way. That's not mine. That's not my thought. Well, how am I going to pay for this? Or how are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? Lord, that's, you know, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to work. I'm going to do what I need to do. But at the end of the day, that's on you. That's on you. God, because I know that you care for me. The Bible also says, in James it says, or 1 John I think it is, listen, it says this, that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. Fear, there's torment in fear, right? If you're tormented, then you're a product of the fear that's causing the torment. But you're really not convinced that God loves you. Because if you were convinced that God loves you, then there would be no place for the torment to land. Jesus loves me, this I know. Right? I know it. I know it. So, Lord, if you love me, then you got my back. And if you love me and you got my back, why am I going to even allow this care to come upon me? Mm-mm. You got to cast your care, but don't take it back. Repent of worry and anxiety. Say, Lord, this worry is that I'm not trusting you. This anxiety is because I really don't believe you. Are you getting something? But you have to do something about it. You can't wait for somebody else to come. You can't come wait for Sister Spiritual to show up or you know, Apostle so-and-so to show up and come lay hands on you to dispel that anxiety. Why? Because you might get delivered then, but you got to go home with you. And if you haven't dealt with you, then that's going to come back. But if you do what I'm talking about tonight, you can live in peace no matter what the circumstances are. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Now look at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be sober. I mean, that's be thinking. Don't just let thoughts come. Don't just let cares come. Don't let it just absorb. And be diligent about it. What does that mean? That means you have to stay on top of it. Especially if you're one that's given into taking the whole weight of the world on yourself. Or talking about how bad things are. Or you know, just, oh, what about this and what about that? Or what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? Listen, what am I going to do? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Whether I'm here, whether I'm there, I'm going to trust God. You know, I've had to do that many times. Where this church is involved, right? Because when we first started the church, I was working and whatever. Well, it got to the point where I went full-time in the church. Well, I don't have any fallback at that point. I mean, I could have went and got a job, you understand. But if God didn't come through with the money, I didn't have money. Right? And there are many times where we were, especially when we first began, where I'd be paying the bills, but there wasn't enough for salary. What do you have to do at that point? God, I just trust you. I just trust you. I don't know where that's going to come from. I don't know how we're going to get through this. But God always, 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 always has showed up. Right? Think about this. I mean, how are we going to get a building? Lord, how are we going to build it? We've got a goal of 100,000, but really it's 20% down on most anything that you get, and you know, it could be $1 million for a building, right? So what's that? That's a lot more than 100,000, but none of that really matters because I trust God. I can't keep the care of that. I've got to roll it over onto Him. But watch this again, verse 8. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary is not your neighbor. your adversary is not Joe Biden. Your adversary is not Governor Inslee. Your adversary is not your employer. Your adversary is not the Christian that you're mad at. Your adversary is the devil. Come on. And he comes as a roaring lion. But watch this. He's a roaring lion that's toothless. All he can do is roar. Have you ever been around a dog that barks a lot, but you go up to the dog and it just whimper away and you know, if you stand up to it, you go, yeah. That's not our dog, honey, if you're watching. That's not but watch this. Watch it. I got to take care of me. But watch this. Watch this. But that's the enemy. He's going to come at you and viciously talk to you about why you should worry. Why peace is not for you. It might be for somebody else who's doing things better. It might be for somebody else who's praying more. It might be for somebody who's got more of anointing. Of course, Pastor Bruce is going to be at peace because he's closer to God than I am. Listen to me. If your name is written in the book of life, if your sins have been forgiven by Jesus, if Jesus is Lord of your life and God is residing in your heart, there is no one closer to God than that. And God is not closer to anyone than that. I'm not qualified for what I'm talking about tonight because of my efforts. I'm qualified because the blood of Jesus has cleansed me of all my unrighteousness. Come on. I'm forgiven of my sins and I'm right with God. And my God shall supply every need that I have, whether it's spiritual, mental, physical, financial, relational. God is the supplier of everything that I have. And God, if you're caring for it, I don't need to. And when the enemy comes at me, I've got to stand up against him and say, I don't think so. I don't think so. I refuse to be kowtowed to your word because I have his word on it. I'm talking about praying and talking to God about who you are and what he said to you. Because when you get to that place and you begin to thank him for who he is, then his peace will guard your heart and mind because you're enforcing the boundaries. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I always have more scripture than I do time. That's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment. It's working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. That we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to God. I'm not living for the here and now. I'm living for the here and there. Come on. Come on. He's with me. He's for me. I just refuse to allow this present age to keep me in the state of mind that is not my inheritance. My inheritance is the peace of God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and we'll wrap this up with a couple of scriptures. Watch this. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. Or chapter 6, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Watch this. What's the good fight? I've always figured a good fight's when I win. Right? But the good fight of faith. What's the good fight of faith? The good fight of faith is believing what God has said, believing in the finished work of the cross, believing what He's done. Now watch what He says. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Did you know that when you believed in Jesus, you received eternal life? So when you're going through something, grab a hold of that. Rather than be confused and confined by what this life offers you. Grab a hold of the fact that, you know what, I'm going to live with Him forever. I've got the life of God on the inside of me. It's in Him that I live and I move and I have my being. I may not know what to do now, but I thank You, God, that I can ask for wisdom. You'll give liberally to me. Father, I know that I know that I know that You've got my steps ordered, and that tomorrow, God, You understood how I'd get to today, but tomorrow is already taken care of. Lord, I just want to thank You and praise You that You're with me. That's how you fight the good fight of faith. You fight the good fight of faith, and it goes on to say this. Look at, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I'm going to tell you what God is going to do for me, what God has done for me, rather than rehearsing what the devil has been doing to me, or what others have said about me, or what my circumstances are. I'm going to begin to speak to you about how good the God that I serve is. Listen, I was poor, but I'm not poor anymore. I was this, but I'm not that anymore. I was lost, but I'm not lost anymore. I'm found. Come on, I was rejected at one time, but I'm accepted now. I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. That's how you fight the good fight of faith. When thoughts come against you that are contrary to that, you've got to fight it by putting the Word of God in your mouth. Glory to God. And Paul said this in 2 Timothy. He said, look, I've fought my fight. I've run my race. I've done it, man. I've made it. Life is about done for me, but I fought it. I've done it. I'm here. But look at my life on earth is just the beginning, not the end. For eternity, I'm going to be with Him and He's going to be with me. Glory to God. Do you want peace? Enforce the thought that God is for me, God is with me, and God will see me through. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word tonight. Lord, You've preached me happy, God, and I just thank You for it. And again, Lord, we just repent of our worry. It's not okay. We repent of our anxiety. We repent of our depression. And we declare with our mouth that if You're for us, who can be against us? We thank You for sending Jesus. We thank You for allowing us to become children of the Most High God. We thank You that Your blood covers us. We thank You that You'll supply all of our needs. We thank You that when we die and go to be with You, Lord, heaven's waiting to receive us in Jesus' name. And we're going to spend eternity worshiping You and praising You. So we're just going to get started on that right here, right now. We thank You and we praise You. We honor You for Your goodness. Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The only way to have that assurance, to have that peace, is to know the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. He lived on the earth 2,000 years ago, but He's alive today. And the fact that He's alive is the very reason that I can say that I have eternal life, because it's the life that He produced in me that causes me to have that life. How do you get that? You ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. Come on. Jesus, I need a Savior. I need God. I need God in my life. So just yield to Him, talk to Him, ask Him to come into your life. Make Him the Lord of your life. It changes everything. God bless you. Thanks for being with us tonight. We just love you. And know, God is for you. And He's good all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.